Coming up on this edition of RCN Sports Talk, former Villanova Wildcat and Liberty Hurricane Darren Hilliard talks about his new career with the Detroit Pistons and on his team's Friday night matchup against the 76ers. NFL beat writer Nick Fierro breaks down the Redskins, Eagles, and the NFC East playoff race and other NFL and NCAA football issues. Plus, our first high school winter sports features of the season. These topics, our prize giveaway, and more on tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk. Brought to you by the Vinard Dealership, your Lehigh Valley Acura Honda Hyundai dealers.
Good evening, everyone. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas. So glad you could be with us for our final edition of RCN Sports Talk during the 2015 calendar year. I'm Chris Michael, and we'll introduce our special in-studio guests on the program from the Allentown Morning Call and mcall.com, NFL and Eagles beat writer extraordinaire and high school wrestling writer. That's because we'll be talking a little high school wrestling on the program. Mr. Nick Fierro is here, along with the co-host of the program and the self-proclaimed star of the show, Mr. Joseph Linwood Craig. Joe, you were talking about ego a few seconds ago. Do you want to elaborate on that here on live television?
No, not at this point, but we will down the road. I'm sure we'll get into that.
Yeah, we got to get right to this because there's a lot of Eagles and Redskins and NFC East topics to talk about. So our tip-off question, we have the expert here. We're going to put the question to him right off the bat. Who is going to win this dreaded NFC East, and who needs to win this division the most? Because the Redskins are kind of, you know, trying to build for the future. The Eagles, some person on the show, not me, said the Eagles were going to go to the Super Bowl this year. So it'll be a huge disappointment if they don't get to the playoffs. So, Nick, who do you think is going to win the NFC East?
The same answer for both questions, the Giants, because they need to win it the most, because all of a sudden their coach is on the hot seat again, which I don't know why he should be. Yeah. But, you know, they – and I think that they're the best team when you really look at things. You take away the last 70 seconds of all their games this year, they'd be, what, 10-2, something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not the – I mean, look, everything counts. But I think that even though they have the toughest – maybe the toughest schedule going, they're the team that's probably going to win it. I think that the Eagles, even though they're in a great spot now and they won a big game last week or not, they're just still haven't fixed what's
wrong.
You're not
all in now because I have people saying they're going to the Super Bowl all of a sudden now after those three big losses.
No. They're not going to any Super Bowl.
No.
Joe?
I tell you what, as I look at the NFC East, I see a lot of real mediocrity. But I think the team on the rise is the Redskins. And I just have a feeling that the Redskins may win the division. I don't know. They're just young and they do some things, you know, they've got a lot of inexperience. But I really believe that with Cousins playing the way he's playing at times, they have the ability, and their schedule is not as difficult as the Giants. So I think they have the best shot. But, hey, listen, in this division, I mean, if Brocco Middle School was in it, you might think they had a shot. I mean, it's that bad. But I think the Redskins.
And 10 can still win this division.
Yeah, and it may. It really may.
It's hard to believe.
You know, I was going to ask that because they have the experts on the national shows, and then they run through computer analysis, and the prevailing wisdom is that the Giants also are going to win the division. And yet you look at the opposing records. I think the Eagles' opposing records are 26-21 the rest of the way. The Giants' opposing team's records are 30-16. The Redskins' opposing records are 22-36, yet no one's mentioning the Redskins. So why would you think the Giants and why don't the Redskins seem to get that nod, except for Joe here?
In my opinion, just because their quarterback is not proven, that they haven't really done it yet. They're still trying to incorporate some new pieces. And I didn't like the way they lost that game the other night. It was one of their best players, a player that the Eagles probably never should have gotten rid of. He fumbles the ball. They lose the game. They have to win that. It's a game that they have to win. The Giants are coming out with, nobody's really winning games that they have to win. But I still see the Giants as just being a little bit tougher when it comes right down to it. Mm-hmm. And maybe the last team standing, you know, maybe not the best. There's no good teams in the division, but the Giants might be the team with the
They
have the best quarterback now, maybe not when Romo was around, but they have the best quarterback now, and for sure. And
the best receiver.
Except
for the one
and they're,
from
they're, you know,
Dez
their
Bryant's
defense is not great, but it's
except for him.
They just, you know, they're going to be in it. They're going to find ways. Yeah. I just think that that last game's going to mean something. When the Eagles go up there in the final game,
I think it will.
I believe it'll mean something, maybe for both teams, but certainly for the Giants, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
Well, as you look at the record of the teams, I mean, the Redskins aren't playing anybody that's got a winning record the rest of the way. The best they've got to face is Buffalo at 6-6. So, yeah. I mean, they're not playing any juggernauts, where everybody else is playing at least one team that's got at least 9 or 10 wins. So that gives, to me, the Redskins the edge. It's still going to come down to them having to beat both Philadelphia, Dallas. I mean, two of them are in their division. They're going to have to at least win one of those. But I'll stick with them as my choice for that reason. And as far as the quarterback situation is concerned, I mean, if you look at Manning with the Giants, I mean, of the other three teams, who's got a bona fide quarterback? Mm-hmm. Really? Who's got a bona fide quarterback?
Yeah.
And you know, everybody knows the name of the game in the NFL is you better start with number one, and it better be the quarterback. And the guy who has the best quarterback is the Giants. That particular situation, I think that's the difference there. But the Redskins, there's a swagger, there's a youthful swagger. I think even though they blew that game the other night, they've all done their shots at blowing games. But I just the schedule alone and the youth and everything, now that you're in the end of the game, at the end of the season, the Redskins should have the better legs. They're the younger team, and I think that helps. I think that all bodes well for them.
I will say this about the quarterback, if we have time.
Sure.
Eagles, Bradford's getting better. You look at the wins. Four out of the last five games that he's finished.
They've won.
Mm-hmm. He hasn't played great in all of them, but he's cut down on his turnovers. He hasn't had an interception in some time. He's more efficient now, and the team operates, you know, more efficiently with him. And now, if they can keep this thing going with him, he doesn't get hurt anymore. Maybe they,
but they still don't have the down the field threat. Everything with them is within 10 to 15 yards. It primarily is. They may hit 20-yard once in a while, but they don't have the down the field threat. The Giants have it with
Odell Beckham.
Beckham. Yeah. Of course, the Cowboys have it with Bryant, and of course, Washington has it with Jackson. So they don't have that threat. That really, in my mind, negates somewhat Bradford's effectiveness. Because you're still to be a really good, you got to have that threat once in a while that it keeps safeties and corners honest. And he doesn't have that threat, which doesn't help him because people can zero in on those shorter routes and, you know, it just makes it less effective.
I think it's interesting the way that people have backed off the expectations for Sam Bradford, because before this year he was this great quarterback. He's going to be the face of the franchise and the quarterback to lead this team for several years. Now it's, well, he didn't lose the game for us, so he did a good job last week. Is that the change of expectations? And where do you think the Eagles can go from here with Bradford? Do they have to sign him to a long-term contract, or they just cut bait and go somewhere else after the
year? No, this is the whole thing. It's still a fluid situation right now. And that's going to be what I'm going to be writing about for this weekend, previewing the game. They're coming to a D-Day with him, and I don't know if anybody really knows how it's going to go.
Right.
They're going to wait to see how these games play out. It's going to be a poker game with him and his agent and Chip, which, by the way, we'll get to that. I don't believe what Chip did a nice job today explaining the LeSean McCoy thing, saying about Chip's agent, by the way, who happens to be the same agent as Evan Mathis. But Drew Rosenhaus.
Yeah.
So, but getting back to that, I don't know how that's going to play out, but I don't know that a lot of people thought that Sam Bradford was going to step right in and be this superstar.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be a project. It was going to be a process from day one. And to be honest with you, I think he's done better than I thought he was going to.
Well, I think a lot of it, too, is that everybody's bought into, back in July and August, bought into the Chip Kelly Kool-Aid. You know, he talked everybody into the fact that Bradford should be the answer. But I think after we've all had a chance to watch Bradford, now, you know, if you put an offensive line, and I'm telling you the key to all of it is the offensive line with that offense. And it is, with, as you know, Nick, with all the every team, it's always good. It comes down to the five guys up front. And everybody was believing a certain story about that kid and how his ability, number one draft pick, all that kind of stuff. But the offensive line has been so bad and so unsettled, and his production in the first six or seven games was not very good. And I think that's why people are now down more on Bradford and that turned the tables. Doesn't mean he's not good. It doesn't mean he can't be good. But no quarterback in worth their salt is going to be real effective in the NFL unless they've got those five guys up front. You've got to have them.
I'll say this, and I've given this a lot of thought. The you got to have at least one solid group here. You know, mm-hmm. I look at New England. They don't really have much of an offensive line either. No. But they have Brady. They have receivers. They don't have much of a running game, which I think goes hand-in-hand with the offensive line. But they can still win. They can still have a good offense because they have guys that can get open, because they have a quarterback that can hit them. But when you go into a season and, you know, without both, without an offensive line and without the receivers, which is what the big miscalculation that Chip had, that's a problem.
Yeah,
And I think that they could win with this offensive line if you give them New England's receivers. If you give them even if you plug these receivers in with Bradford, I think they could win more than they're winning now. But you can't win with this whole group the way it is. And I think that's where Chip knew the offensive line he had going in. It was a calculated gamble. I think he felt like his receivers were better. And that's what let them down.
Yeah. Well, I think you got to have one or the other. Thing that going forward, too, is Chip Kelly the man that should be making the decisions? Or does Jeffrey Lurie step in and say, you know what, we're going to bring in someone to make it at least 50-50 as far as decision-making, to have another voice that Chip can bounce things off of?
Well, you got to have one or the other. I mean, if you don't have the great offensive line, you got to have the Amendola types, guys that you can dump the ball off to, that you can hit on the short routes, which is what Brady has.
But do you trust Kelly to make that decision next year, to bring people like that in?
Well, I think he, if I'm not a real solid person on his personnel choices now, because I've looked and seen what he's brought in, and you know, he hasn't drafted an offensive lineman other than one, I think, the first year. But it's only been one guy. That's
very first pick.
Yeah, very first pick. And other than that,
he hasn't drafted anybody since.
But you've got to have either the advantage. That if I have my choice between having the Amendola types and the short pass route guys with the Brady throwing, if I have my choice between that and a Bradford with a Dallas Cowboy offensive line from a year ago, I'll take the offensive line and Bradford at quarterback, because I think that gets you a little bit of a better passing game, maybe a lot better passing game, and it also gets you a running game, which you've got, and you've heard me preach this balance business 1,000 times, Chris. I think in the pros, 90% of the successful teams have had a balance. They've been able to do more than one thing. You got to be able to do that.
Nick Fierro, The Morning Call, mcall.com, is our special guest with Joe Craig and myself. We're expecting Darren Hilliard to give us a call. He was flying into Philadelphia tonight, so hopefully his travel plans are on schedule, and he can call us at some point during the 60 minutes of the program. Also, we can't accept emails. If you were with us last week, you know that Joe threw my laptop out the window. And every other laptop here he sabotaged because he thought that emails and Twitter and all the social media takes away from his airtime. So, and then he got someone in our department to send out my computer to what? Silicon Valley? It's like taking 9 days.
Well,
travel by Camelback.
You wouldn't buy a Murray computer.
It'll probably be back tomorrow in time for the show next year.
All right, whatever.
But there's a few storylines concerning running backs. Do you want to start with the Bills running back, Eagles running back?
The Bills running back who should be the Eagles running back.
Yeah.
I noticed how you worked that in earlier when you said that one of the many players that should be here that's not.
But maybe what you're seeing, and we've been hearing all week from that line, that running back, maybe that's the reason he got rid of him. I don't know what he was like in the locker room. You wouldn't have much better feel for
fun.
That. Was he? No, they didn't have any of that.
He was a little bit of a practical joker, but I mean, he didn't. He wasn't the teammates had a problem with. No. And you know, he did some off the field stuff that was a little questionable. But I don't think that was. You know, I think they got that under control. I don't think that was the reason they got rid of him. I just really thought that they thought that they could do better. I mean, that was the bottom line.
And they whiffed on that.
I'll give Chip credit for doing what he did today and saying that, coming out and apologizing. But, again, getting back to that, he said the only reason we traded him was because of money. But then he was reminded that Sean said that he was ready to to renegotiate. Yeah. He said, well, that's not what we heard from his agent. That part I find tough to do.
Well, I didn't hear him say that they made a mistake in trading him. I heard him say that they made a mistake in how they told him
exactly.
That he was traded, not that he was traded.
Oh, no, he explained everything, and he was very, I thought he made some great points. Yeah. That he wasn't, I thought the excuse that he gave for not calling him right away was kind of lame, that they were waiting for the league to approve the trade. Players know, and teams notify players days before things happen.
Yeah.
And especially in this case, you should let this guy know, hey, even if the trade doesn't go through, it's better to have him know that you tried
Something's
to trade
going
him
on, yeah.
instead of, because it's going to come out either way.
Yeah.
And so I think they screw that up. But just getting back to that, he said that the reason why we got rid of him is because we had to allocate money elsewhere, and they weren't open to renegotiation.
Yeah.
And he said the same thing about Evan Mathis, who has the same agent as LeSean McCoy,
right.
And I don't necessarily believe that. In fact, I know from talking to Evan Mathis that wasn't the case. And McCoy, same way. I mean, he was willing. He actually had said, both of them had said on the record that they were willing to come back. Yes, Evan Mathis was seeking a pay raise. No, he wasn't ready to hold out.
Right.
He did miss the voluntary portion of the offseason, but he was going to come in for the mandatory mini camp, and he was going to be a good soldier the rest of the way. And that's the same thing with LeSean. I just felt like in the running back's case, they felt like they could do better, and he really miscalculated.
Well, that's what they said. They both said they would come in for less money or whatever that. But I don't know, and I don't know if that's true, but that's what they said. But, I think it goes a little deeper than all of these reasons. There's something else there. I think it comes down to the systemic problem, that he's got an offense and he thinks he can plug almost anybody that's a NFL ability,
yes.
and he can run that offense and be effective. I think that really, and that's an ego thing. I think he's learning. Maybe it isn't true.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily know that. I mean, when they got DeMarco Murray, they thought they were, they got the NFL's leading rusher. And he was coming off a great year, and he was a guy who they thought, I think everybody, a lot of people thought, I didn't, but thought would fit their offense a lot better. I think what happened was, and the coach never said that. He's never said this to this day. Everybody kind of thinks that he said it, but he never did. But it was Jeff Lurie that let it sneak out. Mm-hmm. He was the one that said, well, we wanted a one cut back. That did not come.
He didn't make that up on his own.
No, he got that from
I'm sure.
inside the building. So, that's where it all. They really thought, and this is the problem. They really thought they were going to do better. Looking at it with their scouts and looking at film review and looking at videotape review. When I looked at that, anybody with a high speed internet could see last year that the problem was not LeSean McCoy dancing.
Mm.
And when he did dance, it was because there were five guys trying to block seven all the time. And there's two extra guys in the picture, and he's trying to get somebody to miss, and it didn't matter. So, I mean, if he goes forward, okay, maybe he gets dropped for a two-yard gain when he should have had a two-yard loss where he should have had a two-yard gain. But more often than not, he's going to pick up yards doing what he did, as they see this year with DeMarco Murray, who's not really dancing and he's just going down and averaging 3.5 yards per carry and it not really getting any better, which I kind of thought he would myself. So they really they misdiagnosed the whole problem. They were thinking that they'd get better at running back and they would just get better instead of trying to fix the line or trying to get better receivers. Like I said, you have to be good at something.
It's on all those levels they've come up short.
They could get by with this offensive line if they were just a little bit better in other areas, but they're not. And they miscalculate everywhere, and now all of a sudden they have this mediocre offense all across the board.
But if you're going to have mediocre skill people, which is what they have.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you can offset that by having the good offensive line.
Yeah, absolutely.
That can make mediocre ball carriers and mediocre receivers more effective if you've got that five front guys.
It carried Andy Reid's teams for years.
Yeah, if I had a place I was going to start, it would be with those five guys.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be my preference.
Look at what Donovan McNabb had to work with for all those years until they got T.O. Nothing.
But he had that offensive line.
He had a running back, but I mean, they had an offensive line,
yeah.
And they could do a lot of things.
Company, yeah.
And now it's the other way. I mean, but again, you don't necessarily have to have it, but they don't. I think where Chip thought he was going to have better guys, they were counting a lot more on a guy like Josh Huff to be the deep threat.
Yeah,
he's hurt. He was just not.
Yeah.
He could still do some things. We can see it, but he's not in there a lot. They thought Nelson Aguilar was going to have the kind of year that Jordan Matthews had last year as a rookie. That didn't happen. He got hurt, too. Never came back strong from it. We don't know what's going on
and
with him.
And they really haven't used Sproles as effectively in the passing game as a lot of people thought they would either.
Yeah, he's dropped some balls, though,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've lost some faith and some confidence in him. They've all dropped balls.
And I think a lot of people thought they'd be using the tight end a lot more effectively either.
And that's another thing. Zach Ertz came into the season hurt. You know, he started out the season, didn't miss any games, but he had that injury, that groin thing, whatever it was, that was kind of a mysterious thing. He wasn't really himself until a month into the season. So they're starting out with a tight end who's not really 100%, you know, the guy that they're going to use the most. That they got injured right away with Aguilar and with Josh Huff. And so, they lost one of their starting offensive linemen in the first game. Things just mounted, and it's stuff that they weren't really counting on. And again, I think that he really thought they were going to get more from these wide receivers. And of course, you have a new quarterback that you're plugging in who's still trying to feel his way. Didn't play at all in the preseason.
And he got hurt.
And then finally, he got hurt. It was a legitimate injury, though. It wasn't one of those things where. So I think anybody would have gotten hurt getting hit that way in that game against the Dolphins. So, and he's come back from that now and won a game. Against a really good team, maybe I think it's still the best team in the league. So, this is where they are. They're still kind of in purgatory, especially when it comes back to what are they going to do with this guy now?
Yeah,
he's going to be a free agent, and his contract is expiring. They have to make a decision pretty soon.
And it's clear the backup's not the answer.
Right, he's going to be
That's
the backup.
Clear.
Don't even
yes.
go there.
Well, it's pretty clear now. I mean.
Our special in-studio guest is Nick Fierro, The Morning Call and mcall.com. We're going to have the trivia question coming up in just a couple minutes on tonight's edition of RCN Sports Talk. We'll be talking about the Redskins in more detail and also a little bit about where the Eagles go from here at running back with Ryan Matthews, Darren Sproles, and DeMarco Murray all sharing time in that Eagles backfield. More RCN Sports Talk right after this.
Miss part of this evening's program or want to see one of our sports features again? Catch today's RCN Sports Talk show or any of our recent programs in its entirety at any time through RCN On Demand. It's easy. Go to Dial Position 1 or hit the VOD button on your remote control. Then hit OK and click on RCN TV, then Sports, then RCN Sports Talk. Our shows are listed in descending order, so keep scrolling down to see our most recent shows. The program is free to watch and is available for up to 50 days from our initial air date. So if you ever miss a show or want to catch tonight's program again, check out RCN Sports Talk through video on demand.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talkers special guests. Nick Fierro in studio, joining Joe Craig and myself. Joining us on the phone lines now, former Liberty Hurricane, former Villanova Wildcat, and current Detroit Pistons guard, Mr. Darren Hilliard. Darren, welcome to RCN Sports Talk.
How you doing, Chris?
Good
to talk to you, man.
I should say welcome back. This is actually your third time on the show.
He's been with us a number of times.
Yeah, I've been around a few times.
You've done a few nice things since we last had you on the show.
Since I remember you in high school when I was involved in Bethlehem, Darren, I'll tell you what. You've come a long way, baby.
Man, long time coming, huh? That's from that skinny 15-year-old kid trying to impress Coach Landers.
I remember when you were a freshman coming in.
long time ago.
Yeah, and all the success thanks to Joe's tutelage.
Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it.
Darren, I got to first and foremost, I got to ask you about a rumor going around Eastern Pennsylvania here. Of course, you made your debut a few weeks ago. Rumor is you didn't tell anyone about it, including your mom. What was it like playing in that first game, and how comes you didn't let anyone in on the secret?
Tell anybody. I kept it to myself. I tried to stay in the moment. You know, when you're a kid and you dream about playing in the NBA, it's all good. But once you get on that court, it's a whole different ball game. Yeah. You're playing against grown men and guys who you look up to. So it's kind of different. Actually stepping on that court. And I mean, I think the reason why I didn't really want to tell anybody, I didn't want anybody make a big fuss about it. I mean, I'm sure you guys know I'm not really the type to, you know, be very vocal about his accomplishments and things like that. And so I just tried to keep it to myself, and hopefully I was able to get a point and score my first NBA basket, which I did, which was a blessing. But yeah, I didn't really want to tell anybody, even my mom. She kind of went off on me about that, but I didn't want to be even more nervous than what I actually was.
Darren, I'll bet you had to keep it a little low key, because if you didn't, your mom would let you know about it.
Yeah. She was, you know, if I told her, she would be my worst critic. You know, she's always been like that, and she always would have tried to coach me and tell me what to do, even though I'm a professional now. So,
well, you're lucky you had that kind of support from home.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I mean, every time I come home, every time I talk to anybody back home, they always, you know, tell me that they're proud of me, and it's awesome.
Yep. Your head coach, Stan Van Gundy, after that game, I don't know if you saw his quote, but just to paraphrase a little bit, he said the reason he chose you to make that debut that night was because he thought you could provide a spark offensively, which is saying something, considering at that point you hadn't played in an NBA game. What did Coach Van Gundy say before that ball game to let you know you were going to play, and how big has his confidence been so far this year to you?
Well, Coach Van Gundy, he's always he's kind of like Coach Wright. You know, he's hard nosed, he's defensive minded, and as far as him letting me know I was going to play, he said it in as few words as possible. He was just like, "I'll give you a shot today." I said, "All right, let's roll." Yeah, that was it. Yeah. He shoot around the morning before, and so you know, that was kind of his way of telling me that he's got confidence in me to bring me off the bench, and hopefully I'd impress, and more minutes will be coming my way.
Yeah, Darren, let me ask you this: you know, you've been known through high school and through college, you were always a scorer, you know, but you were always known for your defense too. Especially at Villanova, I thought you were the best defensive player on the team. At Villanova the last three years at least. What's that been like now in the pros? Defensively, what's that adjustment been like? What are the biggest differences?
Well, I think you just said it. It's the pros. You know, you're not gonna shut anybody out, especially at this level. I think in high school and college, you might find maybe one or two weak links that who aren't as capable scorers. But I think at this level, like, every single person on the floor can score, no matter what position they're in, they can score the ball. And so when you're playing defense, it's kind of, you take it personal, but at the same time, you got to realize, okay, these are the best people in the world at playing this sport. Yeah. So if they score on you, it's not the end of the world. You don't want it to happen, but at the same time, you got to know, well, that's James Harden.
So it's the ability levels. Yeah, the ability levels of the players.
Yeah, their ability is they're all scorers. We're all scorers. You know, we all come from different places, and we're the best in the world. And so, yeah, you just got to take a little grain of salt and just keep it moving.
Let me ask you one other question. What have you found is the biggest adjustment you've had to make from college to the NBA? I mean, obviously the quality of the players is so much greater, but surely there are other adjustments that you've found, you know, whether they be off the court or on the court, but what are the biggest ones, you think?
Well, obviously you get a lot more attention. You know, when you're in the NBA and people know who you are, you get a lot more attention than in college. I'm sure people knew who I was in college, but when you're in the NBA, you get drafted, you get a lot more attention. And also, as far as the game, it's a lot different from college as far as like the three-second lane and the helps and the schemes and everything else. It's a totally different game. But I would say once you get adjusted to the game on the court, it's more so off the court that's a lot to deal with. You know, you got it's money involved now, and I'm sure you guys. Yeah, I'm sure people who have regular jobs and who have 9-to-5 know what that's about. When you have coworkers and things like that, when money's involved, it's a lot different. You know, it's a great job. I think it's the best job in the world. But I think that the main thing with NBA and college is there's money involved. That's all.
Well, enjoy it while you're young, buddy.
Yeah, I'm trying to stay young, man. I'm trying to stay young. 82 games is a long season. I'm trying to stay as young as possible.
That's good.
Yeah, Darren, they sent you down to the D League for a game, which is not uncommon for rookies to get some minutes and to get back in the swing of being playing on a regular basis. And boy, did you respond! 31 points, which was a game high, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, 2 assists, and then they brought you back to the parent club. What was that experience like, and was there any benefit, you thought, to going down there, getting some more minutes, and then what did you learn to bring back with you to the NBA?
Yeah, I just kind of learned not to take anything for granted. You know, I'm not the type of person that will, but, you know, just kind of staying humble, staying hungry, staying in the gym, and always working hard, and I always prided myself on that. But as far as the D-League, I was extremely happy that I was going down there so I can play, because I haven't played since training camp at the time, and I just wanted to work on some things that I was working with, and just keep getting better. So I never looked at the D-League as being demoted or anything negative with the D-League, because I tried to be positive about it, have a good vibe about it, and I was really excited to go out there and play 5-on-5 and compete, you know. So that kind of allowed me to let off some steam, and I just so happened to have 31 points, but it was fun. I loved it. It was a great experience. And if I got to go again, then I don't know if I can give you 31 again, but I'm gonna be excited to go down there, and hopefully I play well enough so I can come right back.
Now your Pistons play the Sixers tomorrow night. What's the game plan for you? I know a lot of people in the Delaware Valley would love to see an extended run by you.
The Lehigh Valley wants to see him, yeah.
Everyone in Eastern Pennsylvania wants to see you play tomorrow night. What's kind of the game plan? I don't know if you can talk real strategy with us, but what's kind of the game plan and keys for you and the Pistons have success against the Sixers, which a lot of people, of course, around the NBA are doing right now?
I can give you guys a call after shoot around tomorrow morning. I have nothing for you right now.
All right. That doesn't change from game to game, I guess, until you get close to game time.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, I want to ask you about the process with Sam Hinkie. You, of course, were in Philadelphia when this whole thing started. What is your thoughts, and what are some of the other people around the league's thoughts about the process by Sam Hinkie of bringing in people? They're obviously not doing well again this year. They're going to get a low draft pick. They just brought Jerry Colangelo in. What are some of the people around the nation thinking about this process that the Sixers have unfolding right now?
Well, I can't really speak about the people around the nation or around the league, but I just think that they have a vision. You know, they're looking into the future, and people may not see it right now, but I'm sure in a couple of years, a lot of people are going to be Sixers fans. They have a lot of guys who have a strong core, and they're just building right now. It takes a while, you know. Whatever the record may be, it's still an NBA team at the end of the day. You know, you can't look past them. You can't say anything about them. They're still an NBA team. They still have great players, You know, it just takes a little bit of time. And I'm learning that now. You got to be patient in this league, and it's not always given. You know, you got to be patient and pay your dues . And if God's ready for you to have your time to shine, then use that as much as you can. But I think that they're just building right now, and I think in the coming years that they'll be a great ball club.
Yeah, Darren, let me ask you this final question from me. Having lived most of your life in the Lehigh Valley, you know, coming up through Liberty and then going off to college, what's it like leaving, like, the Lehigh Valley and going to a large area like Detroit to play professional sports? I mean, I'm not so much talking about getting on the court stuff, but, I mean, do you live by yourself? Do you have roommates? Do you live with other players? I mean, what's the life like? Is it something you expected?
It's a lot different, you know. Coming from a kid who was raised by two parents and being the only child, you know, just kind of being in a small town in Bethlehem and not really getting a lot of recognition in high school and then going to Nova. And Nova was a big school, but not the biggest. And you know, I think kind of leading up to this point, I was really not sheltered, but it wasn't as, you know, large as,
right,
as some other players may be. But, you know, when I got drafted, I mean, I prepared for this. I think I prepared for this for 21 years, man, and I dreamed about it. I lost sleep about it. I was always dreaming and working towards this moment. And I think that when I got drafted and it came, you know, I obviously had some learning to do, but I was prepared for it. You know, I had a good head on my shoulders. My parents raised me right, and
made it easier.
I'm living by myself, which is the best thing ever.
Well, the big question to you, Darren, is now that you're in Detroit, have you found a Potsy's hot dog or a Penn pizza or something like that?
I mean, I haven't yet. I'm trying to come home for Christmas, but we'll see how that goes. I'll definitely be in the Valley All-Star break. So,
that's good.
Yeah. I always try to come back and maybe I'll do something to bring the community together, like a toy drive or something else. Me and my cousin will talk about it and maybe raise some money for a boys club or something like that, just to just to spread the love and to bring the community together. But I'm going to always come back and do what I can for the Valley.
Yeah, it'll always be home, I guess.
Yeah, always, never. I'm thinking about hopefully I'm gonna save my money and hopefully I can buy my mother a house, and I'll be here forever if I can.
That'll be well. Good luck with it.
Yeah, Darren, thanks so much for joining us. Continued success in the NBA, and we had you on as a league champion, a district champion, a Big East champion,
maybe an NBA champion.
Yeah, we'll hope to have you on again real soon with some more great accolades.
Thanks for being with us.
I appreciate you guys, man.
Take care of yourself, all right? Good luck, everybody. Right.
Don't beat up on the Sixers too bad.
take care,
buddy.
All right, Darren Hillard, the guard for the Detroit Pistons, former Wildcat, former Liberty Hurricane.
What a great person he is. He really is. I mean, he's a sincere young man. He really is.
All right. Let's do the trivia first, and then we'll do a thumbs up, thumbs down with Nick and Joe here. Trivia question tonight. Joe hasn't complained about this, so I think it's going to be a good one. Tom Brady just passed Dan Marino to move into third place on the NFL's all-time touchdown passes thrown with 423 among active NFL players. Who are the top five quarterbacks in touchdown passes thrown in a career? You have to get all five correct to get the prize. So,
and one of them's going to surprise you.
Yes.
One of them will surprise you.
I thought we were not going to give out any hints.
I didn't give a hint.
So, again, among active NFL players, who are the top five quarterbacks in touchdown passes thrown through a career? And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months, but if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority, but if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with sports talk trivia.
All right, one more time, tonight's trivia question. Tom Brady just passed Dan Marino to move into third place all-time among NFL quarterbacks with touchdown passes thrown among active NFL players. Who are the top five in touchdown passes thrown? Of course, Brady would have to be one of those there. Time for Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down, where we ask our in-studio panelists to identify someone in the sports world for doing something extraordinarily well or perhaps something not so well. I'll start it off here. First of all, Joe Murphy, a longtime official who's also worked with us at RCN in the sales department, is retiring. By the time we come back on our next RCN Sports Talk show, he will have retired, and it's great to see him around here. We're going to miss him here in the offices, but fortunately, he's still going to be very active in a lot of different local sports events in eastern Pennsylvania. So, Joe Murphy, a thumbs up to you for getting your retirement underway. And also, I have to give a thumbs up to our cameraman here, Chris Saya. Believe it or not, a month ago, he predicted, and we said some choice things about him, he said the Eagles were going to lose to Miami, Tampa, and Detroit, and then come back and beat New England. And
yeah,
we told
did.
Him to, I can't say on the air, but I got to give him props, he was right.
He
so,
did.
Joe, give him props and then give you a thumbs up.
Absolutely, great call.
You shouldn't have cursed at him when he said that, as I said before,
you know, even a blind squirrel finds a nut every now and then.
All right.
You know, so he was right. My thumbs up goes to Danny Pluchinski, who is with us tonight, sitting over here in the audience.
We're supposed to introduce her later. We don't have her
shot
yet.
No, I'm introducing her. She's my thumbs up right now. She is with us. She's a junior at Catasauqua High School. She's shadowing Chris Michaels today, learning a little bit about RCN's operation and the media business. Nice to have her with us.
And ignore everything Joe told you when he came in here. So, and Danny, thanks for all those questions you gave Joe to ask here on the show tonight. Nick, who'd you like to give a thumbs up or thumbs down to?
Thumbs up to Steve Schiffer. He's been taking some abuse here, the Eastern football coach.
No, I cannot believe that.
How much time do we have here? Let me see. They had an off season this year. A bad year at 9-4. Last year, 12-2. The year before, 11-3. The year before, 10-2. 11-3, 12-3, and 13-2 going back. Three losing seasons since he's taken over in 1993. Come on. Where's the camera here?
What do you guys want
from this man? If they have to play on Thanksgiving every day, every year, they're not going to get to Hershey doing that. They're doing as well as they can. They don't play the empty backfield. They don't spread it all out and throw the ball around, but they block and they tackle.
Absolutely, and they pursue.
Yeah.
And Danny, remember, don't follow Joe. He's messed up the whole rotation of cameras here. We're all out of whack. We need a break. We'll be back with more of tonight's RCN Sports Talk in just a moment. Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. People on our podcast won't know this, but here, this sheet of paper, Joe complains I don't email him stuff, but he has a copy of an email from me sitting here in his thing, but I don't let him know what's going on. So there you go. Our special in-studio guest, Nick Fierro from
Merry
the Morning Call.
Christmas.
Hold on to him. He might leave here. Nick Fierro of mcall.com, extraordinary NFL beat writer here. We have a trivia question out there again among active NFL players. Who are the top five in touchdown passes thrown in a career? We need all five correct to win the prize. The Redskins, I want to spend a few minutes on them. And they're very similar to the Eagles, I think, because the people down in Washington are not happy about the play calling. And I know on this show we have not been thrilled with Chip Kelly's play calling.
I saw that
Dallas game. It was brutal to sit for 3.5 quarters through. And then it got interesting in the last 2 minutes when DeSean Jackson started waving his arms and everything. Play calling in general, is that becoming a lost art? Or, you know, the play calling in that specific game looked really bad. They seemed to try to run the ball a lot. Then they abandoned the run a lot. You know, how do you see play calling in general this year in the NFL? It seems like there's a lot of teams that do questionable play calls.
Well, yeah, but I think it's that way every year. I don't know if it's really a trend or anything. Sometimes you have it and sometimes you don't, and you know, you really kind of click with players. You really have a good game plan from the start. You don't have to make adjustments. You know, in that game, things maybe didn't go very well, and now you're really kind of up there in the booth or whoever's making these, talking to the guys in the headsets. The clock is ticking. Football is kind of the slowest moving sport for us, for viewers, but it's the fastest moving sport for everybody else. You really have to be thinking three plays ahead, and it's sometimes you make a mistake, and the defense will kind of, if the defense kind of knows what's coming, it makes you really look bad. It's really tough to kind of just go in that game and say, well, you know, this guy's not a good play caller, because they've had other times where they were. The way the league is anymore, defenses have to guess because you can't react anymore because that's the way that the rules are. And so when the defenses guess, it makes your offense look really bad. But when they guess wrong, you get a 40-yard play down the field. And we had some of those plays too. I just that's the way the league is now. Yeah. That's my take on it. I think that you don't get into these positions, especially the Redskins coach who comes from an offensive background, Jay Gruden, got to there for not being able to call plays. Yeah. And that even goes for Chip Kelly, too, as unimaginative as he looks at times. But, you know, I still think that they know what they're doing.
Yeah. And Washington has also had their own issues with running back. Alfred Morris, their number one back, I don't think he got a carry after the first quarter last week against Dallas. He's making a lot less money than DeMarco Murray, but at any point, do you think coaches owe, whether it be Morris or Murray, they're the number one guy. Do coaches owe it to them to put him back in and give him a shot, especially now that we're down to the final 4 weeks of the season? Or should they, should Washington go with a Matt Jones? Should the Eagles go with Ryan Matthews now that he's healthy? Sproles is coming off a career high with 66 rushing yards. Do they owe it to someone? They will at least try to get them going, or do they go from the start with someone else?
I think that because we're in the final 4 weeks of the season and these teams are in a chase to get into the playoffs, you have to go with who you think is going to be the best. And that's where you don't owe it to anybody. You might have owed it, like the Eagles did, to start out the year with DeMarco Murray, even though he was kind of hurt in the preseason and to stick with him for a while. But now you see where they've gone away from him, and I don't think that they're going to go back. And now you have to go with who you think is going to win. And I don't think you owe anybody now. You're trying to get to the playoffs.
I don't understand some of these running backs. I'm not just running backs, receivers, any pro player. Right? if I'm being paid $15 million a year, I would be the quietest mouse you ever heard as long as I was being paid regularly. I certainly want to perform, but, you know, I wouldn't hang my hat on the fact that, well, I didn't run the ball more than five times. You know, you're getting paid. As long as you're being paid, you really don't have an argument, in my opinion. Yeah.
You wouldn't hop on a plane and sit next to the big boss here at RCN and complain about some things?
Never
and
one
of Joe's things?
I don't think DeMarco wanted that to get out.
No, I don't think he did.
I think
either.
that was a lot of times.
That's the question. Who let that out, though? I mean,
there's a lot of theories out there. And one of the other writers was saying that, I don't know. They released the other cowboy.
Yeah.
And he might have been a little upset. Miles Austin, he leaked it. I don't know, because he had nothing to lose there.
Sure.
And he's tight with him, and he was on that plane too, and he's gone now. So maybe it came from him.
All right, our special in-studio guest, Nick Fierro from The Morning Call, joining Joe and myself. We're going to have the roundtable coming up in just a moment. No emails during our show, only phone callers, but you can email the answer to us, and we'll have more information on that coming up. The question one more time: among active NFL players, who are the top five quarterbacks in touchdown passes thrown in a career? Our roundtable topics with national and regional issues coming up right after this break. But our first winter high school sports feature of the winter season is upon us. Sports Talk videographer Alyssa Scheckler caught up with the Nazareth and Catasauqua basketball teams following their game against each other to talk about their upcoming seasons.
We only had our guys since Monday, so our season's going to hopefully be better. We got all our players starting on Monday, so hopefully things will progress. And, you know, as the season wears on, we'll get much better with the ball and have a lot more coordination on offense. Well, our senior, Kevin Bond, Corey Hicks, Isaiah Graves, Quan Mason, Josh Fogle, our five starters who have been there, so they got to produce for us. We got to do better with ball handling. We got to protect the ball. We can't have 30 turnovers, and we got to shoot better.
It was a good start. Key coming into this game was getting off to a good start and bringing some energy, and I thought we did a great job that way, and I thought we played extremely great defense. Three or four of our starters got in foul trouble. I think the bench did a great job coming off the bench, giving us some quality minutes. And I thought our offense got stagnated at times, but, you know, we'll work on those. It's the first game. First goal is we always have is qualify for districts. And, the second goal here is get to the league playoffs. You know, get to the league playoffs first year, and you never know what can happen because everybody's 0-0 when you start. And obviously make a little bit of run in both playoffs. Just started, so, you know, we're taking one game at a time, and we'll build on from tonight.
You are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com, and we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. You can also send us possible show topics and future guest suggestions by emailing chris.michael@rcn.net. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. That number again, 1-844-234-4488. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast. We'll be right back. are listening to the RCN Sports Talk podcast. Send us a comment or question, or to participate in the program, email us at rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. And we might read and respond on an upcoming episode. If you catch the show live, you can call us at 1-844-234-4488 on Thursday evenings between 7 and 8 p.m. Stay tuned for more of the RCN Sports Talk podcast.
A reminder for that trivia question, you can email your answers to us. We'll take the correct answer and give you the correct answer on our next show, which will be in January, January 7th, our next show. So email rcnsportstalk@rcn.com if you think you know the answer to this question. Among active NFL players, who are the top five quarterbacks in touchdown passes thrown in a career? Again, the email address rcnsportstalk@rcn.com. All right, quickly into our roundtable. Topic number one, the Patriots win by the Eagles. Does that change how you view the Eagles personnel? Murray, Bradford, Ryan Matthews. Did anything change as far as individual evaluations in your mind?
Not individually, no. I thought that Bradford played a decent game. He didn't throw the ball all over the field or anything, but he's getting better. Didn't turn the ball over again with interception. And so you have that part going, but really the same problems still exist with the offense, even with the defense, you know, that they got two special team scores and a defensive score. But, in the end, the defense gave up over 400 and some yards. The offense only gained 200, and they only scored two touchdowns.
Yeah. All right, Joe?
No, it doesn't change my feelings. You win the next two games, then you change my feelings.
All right. Last 30 seconds of the show. What is your level of NFL watchability right now on the heels of that dreadful Washington-Dallas game? Nick, what's your level of watchability?
A zero. Negative zero.
It is getting tougher between the bad calls and play calling.
It's not the players. It's not the coaching. It's the product, and it's the way it's been legislated, and the restrictions on the players. The players today are bigger, faster, stronger, more skilled, and they're playing like they don't have any clue. And the coaches, like you were saying earlier, sometimes are coaching like they don't have any clue, which is not the case. Mm-hmm. But they're so limited in what they can do and the way they can hit.
To me, it's still football, and I love it, and I watch it matter what.
We are out of time. Big thank you to Nick Fiera for joining us. Darren Hilliard was on earlier on the program. And a happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and we'll see you on January 7th with our next edition of RCN Sports Talk. Good night, everyone.